again. So they sleep in the same bed, and then they start doing these really cartoonish, funny things, almost Looney Tune things, where they go to the attic to try to figure out what the sound was that they heard. And they find a mouse, and things just kind of get a little chaotic. You have Nathan Lane like putting his head through a painting where it looks like his face is in the painting. They do this big giant lightning strike, and you see this huge like monster shadow, and they grab each other and hold each other like they're Scooby-Doo and Shaggy or something
like
that.
And it's a fucking like clown, like Jack in the Box, just sitting on a windowsill. You're like, well, that's fucking creepy too. Yeah, why is that so creepy?
Yeah, to be honest, when the camera went back to just the normal thing in the doorway, I'm like, that's even creepier than the fucking shadow on the wall. But yeah, it just, and from there too, it just keeps escalating. Like you have them crashing their heads through wooden panels to try to find the mouse, and already kind of ruining floorboards and things. It's just, it escalates so quickly. And I have here,
but also again, the economy of it, because when they crash their heads through the fucking walls, that's when they find the fucking blueprints for the building. Right. So it's constantly moving everything along where they, and then they go, oh, this house is made by an iconic architect, which, by the way, my buddy was watching this with Mitch, because we watched this on Blu-ray a bunch of times as kids, and it finally came out on Blu-ray, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. And so, and I was so excited because I was like, wow, this movie finally made it to Blu-ray. So I'm going to like watch it in like full HD. And so we watched it together. And I was trying to remember because I was like, dude, I like the way that the characters deliver the name of the architect, I could vividly remember it. And my buddy instantly, he was like, dude, it's Charles Lyle LaRue. He probably hadn't seen this movie since he was like fucking 7 years old.
But that's stuck with him for 20 years.
And he even made his review. He's like, I cannot remember my mother's birthday, but I remember the name of the fictional architect that built the house in Mouse Hunt, and it is Charles Lyle LaRue.
Oh, dude.
Charles Lyle LaRue.
That's fucking awesome. I love that so much. 20 years later. That's great.
Yeah.
You guys must have watched this a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically how many times, but I think to remember that, they had to have been specific.
It's like,
you know?
It's one of those things that the dialogue kind of rings in your head like a song would, like an earworm. You've watched it so many times.
Well, speaking of which, the score by Alan Silvestri, who did a bunch of Robert Zemeckis' scores. Actually, he might have done all of Robert Zemeckis' scores, but he also did The Predator and The Abyss back in the day. He now does a lot of like big studio stuff.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, Zemeckis. He did, I think, most of his stuff. The main fucking musical motif for this, man, the second I like reheard it, I was like, oh, dude, I memorized beat for beat. I was like, man, instantly.
Yeah.
Remember when movie scores used to fucking do that? Like, this is the peak of like the Danny Elfman era when for some reason, big Hollywood movie scores like all were allowed to be like weird and have so much melody and personality like that. But we need to go back.
Oh, totally. I mean, I remember, because I didn't look it up yet and I forgot who did the music, and while I was listening to it, I'm like, oh, this is like Danny Elfman or somebody heavily inspired. But I mean, Silvestri definitely has his own, you know, unique sound and everything like that. I think it's just because this one has that kind of lighthearted wackiness that Elfman usually brings into his music. I was just instantly thinking of Elfman when I heard the initial main theme. But yeah, it's very catchy. It's great. And I agree. I miss that when there used to be like actual, like a lead melody that would come with a score a lot of the time, at least for a main theme. And now, although there's some of them that I do like, they have mostly become a lot of like looping and kind of droney and more ominous sounds rather than like full on
or themes. Just completely hidden. Sure. I don't remember a single melody when I leave like a modern superhero movie half the time. There was music, and if I'm watching the movie, I'm like, there is music.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's really not like unique and memorable like this was, because when I put it on again for like the, you know, when I was watching the movie, it instantly came back to me. It was like pulled out of like, you know, the scene in Ratatouille when the critic just like all the way back. I was like, the same thing with me when I heard this music again for the first time. So
yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah. And then, so they discover the blueprints. They discover that it's the famous Charles Lyell LaRue, and they think that, oh my God, they can
wealthy
make some
collectors
money on this.
Are coming in from all around the country, like Alexander Falco, played by Maury Chaykin, who actually, I don't remember if we mentioned this, coincidentally enough, one of the businessmen who listens to Weller's anti-rat rant in Of Unknown Origin.
That's awesome.
So I'm curious if they knew. Were they, you know? I was like,
they picked him out. You know? They're like, we know you can channel this.
But yes, they find out the house is worth way more than $50,000 and actually might be worth millions to possibly tens of millions of dollars. So they need to clean it up for an auction that they are going to be running in a couple days. But that's around the time that the mouse actually gets introduced.
Yeah.
And because they've been hearing it, but they haven't really been seeing it. But we finally kind of get welcomed into the perspective of this mouse who's like, who are all these people moving into my house? Like, that owner bought this place and just left it, and it has been my domain. I fucking rule this place. I have, you know, he has built every section of like the innards of the walls to work as like this perfect slide for him wherever he's going. You know, he's collected objects. These are his rooms, his spaces, and, you know, the labyrinthian architecture of that and the fluid way the mouse moves through it shows how much he fucking owns it and dominates it versus when they're moving through it. It's awkward. It's destructive. You know, it's, you know, it's very much, you know, they're showing you whose home turf this is.
Yeah.
And that is, he has home field advantage when they are going to get into the war they're about to get into.
Yeah. And another thing I find interesting with the whole family curse thing, because it starts to set up like, you know, they're going to get the 50,000 and then they think they're going to get 600,000 and then.